Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Happy Tuesday after a long weekend here on Zolak and Bertrand. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's good.
Hi.
How are you guys?
You okay, Hardy?
Yeah. Good.
There. Now it's finally dinging.
You fought through the fog there this morning to fight your way through.
You ever see that movie? It's a Stephen King movie where not the fog. It's the one where the fog rolls in though, and the people are stuck in a grocery store.
No, I can't say I've seen that one.
Does anybody know which one I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
The people.
Ow.
Is it The Mist?
Yes, The Mist.
Okay.
Bright, sunny, beautiful morning driving. As soon as I get to Morrissey Boulevard, it was like I'd driven into The Mist, and I was convinced that some government experiment creating these huge monsters, spoiler alert, were walking in from the Atlantic and coming ashore. It was that kind of a changeover.
No.
But then you get to the station, it's fine. So I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you're with us, and you made it through the fog, and you made it through The Mist.
It's not good.
You'd be a warrior.
Not good.
You were very alarmed when you hit that fog.
It was alarming. It was alarming. It was like a movie. It's like everything's fine. You're like, oh crap, the world is ending. Apparently, between Freeport Street and Morrissey. All right,
yeah, believe it or not, despite 2020's best efforts, the world is still here.
Yeah,
it is still here. What'd you make of the match, guys, over the weekend? I thought it was better than expected, and I think Tom Brady was the star of the match. Tom Brady was the reason why, frankly, the reason why I continued to watch, because it hit a little bit of a lull until Brady made the shot of the day, and that brought out some personality and brought out some back and forth, and he turned it around and he's looking more like a regular guy than ever before, and I thought that it was it exceeded my expectations. It was better than I thought it would be.
I liked his outfit. I thought his outfit was game. This is everything that was wrong with the week prior. This was flair. You had personalities. You had guys you knew. And I know, Hardy, you know, those were good golf guys the week prior with the shorts. And they raised money for charity. But this is what you want to watch. You want to see Peyton Manning. You want to see Tiger Woods. You want to see Phil Mickelson. You know, you want to see Tom Brady.
All right, but what from those other guys at all was personality-driven? Because I thought... Tiger was a
They don't have
man.
To be because they're that good.
Brutal.
You know what I mean?
He barely spoke, and I thought he was oddly quiet during the course of the entire event. I thought Tiger spoke so little, and even in that one at one point when they caught up with him for the interview, like the one-on-one interview, he broke it off to say, "Oh, I got to go help my teammate." You remember this, Hardy?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, now, I got to go help my teammate, and I'm like, "What is that?"
He's in it to win it.
You get him talking, he's like, ah, sorry, got to go help Peyton line up this putt. Sorry, bye, and walked away.
Yeah. You know, from an entertainment standpoint, which is all that we're looking for these days, number one, it ended up being pretty good. And I think I was kind of like lulled into it because, number one, the match the weekend before was not good. It was really not entertaining at all. This one started off slow. I don't know if they purposely held off the start because of the rain or if, you know, that was the plan all along. But, you know, they started off kind of slow, literally and figuratively. There were technical difficulties at the beginning and throughout. And it, like, in just normal times, this would have been more bad TV. But in all the bad TV we've been subjected to in terms of, you know, trying to watch something. And you know, I'm not counting The Last Dance or Tiger King. No, that's good. But some of these sporting things we've been, you know, talked ourselves into watching have not been good. Out of those bad things, this was better. And this was good. It was better than the match the weekend before. And it got better as it went along. To your point, Beetle, A, because of Tom Brady. He made it worth watching for his haplessness throughout, you know, most of the match.
Yeah.
And the moments of greatness that he showed. And also, you know, some of the other back and forth stuff. They did manage, you know, it's like they can't get the microphone to work while, you know, Phil's driving his cart at one point. Yet they can patch in Brooks Koepka on a telephone call through the system so that Brady can hear him driving around on the course. It's amazing what things worked and what things didn't work, you know, and there's no way of knowing until you're actually doing it. But I thought for the most part, it ended up being a decent watch. And it was also my main takeaway from it was both Tom Brady related. Number one, Jason Sobel was a golf writer for ESPN. He's now with the Action Network. He said early on in this thing, he said, if Brady is an 8.1, meaning an 8.1 index for his handicap, he said, I'm a freaking plus six. And I thought that was essentially about 35 minutes into the match. You just don't see 8.1 handicap golfers doing what Brady did. And we can talk as much or as little about that as you want.
No, I think it's a big part of the day.
Oh, which is pretty good to me, which means he wasn't working on it, which means he's more focused on football, right? I mean,
no,
you've got to be hitting 1,000 balls a day.
No, there's working on it, and then there's spraying your tee shot with a weak slice, right, like 10 tee shots in a row, which an 8.1 handicap doesn't do.
Yeah.
If he were snap hooking it, I could understand it. If he were having an issue because he was trying to, you know, swing it a little too, he had this weak slice that just, and I don't know, you know, I'm not a golf swing analyst. I can't tell. Other people were saying, well, he's got the club face open, he's laying out. All I know is that I've played golf with a lot of good golfers, guys who are, you know, 8 handicaps or better. Or right around there, and I have never seen one of them throughout the course of even half a match consistently lose the ball off to the right like that and be unable to hit chip shots, just like normal bump and runs up to the green. Like, yeah. He's chunking those. He was doing everything poorly. Like, okay, if you're really an 8.1, you don't do everything poorly over the course of 9 holes. Like, that, an 8.1 means if he had had a good day, he went out there and shot 80. But a bad day, if he had counted his, like, played his own ball for 18 holes that day, he would have shot 102. I don't think an 8.1 goes out and shoots 102 ever if he's truly an 8.1.
So there's a good tweet, too, Hardy, from No Laying Up. They do a golf podcast, and they get a website and whatnot, and it said Brady not knowing how to drop from the stake might explain the 8 handicap. # mark me down for a 5.
Right, an 8 handicap, yeah. Doesn't know where, like, doesn't understand the red stakes versus yellow stakes, where you drop, point of entry. It's like, no, if you play enough to be an 8 handicap, you get the basic rules of golf that you shouldn't have to be asking over and over again. And that, by the second or third time he's asking, where do I drop it? I said, drop it in your pocket. Let's go. Pick up. Your partner is Phil Mickelson. He's got this hole. Don't worry about it. Yeah, you know what, champ? Take a few plays off. You know what? You're fine. You're fine.
All right, so he claimed to be an 8.1 handicap. He clearly isn't. He goes out there. He is absolutely terrible to start the day. He is getting roasted on Twitter by everybody. Every athlete, everyone was getting all over Tom Brady. And the best part was this is one of the good things they did. They started running the tweets on the bottom of the screen. They'd be like, oh, what's everybody saying out there? And it was just people crushing Brady to the point where I think some people probably felt bad for him and thought, oh, man. And he turned it around a little bit, not like an 8.1 handicap, but like a regular guy who goes out golfing on the weekends, Hardy.
Yeah.
Right? He started out, he was terrible, but then he redeemed himself with a few shots by the end of the day. You know?
And
walked away saying, hey, you see that great shot I hit? And forget about all those other ones that I hit into the woods, but still, just...
Shut up, Chuck.
Look, did you see my putt? Did you see my shot where I told, you know, Chuck to go stick it? Did you see that? And that's what he walks away talking about.
There's something.
That's what we watch for. This is the new Brady, right? Because he was on Stern. He's been doing interviews. He's been talking more openly. You thought you were going to get a little bit more out of him yesterday.
But you don't feel like talking when you're playing like that. We've all been
really?
There. When you're playing that poorly.
I talk so much smack talk when I play golf, but I thought you would have gotten more of that.
But if you're used to playing at least decent, right? And not being an embarrassment. And you're out there and you just all he wants to do is leave. I'm sure what he was hoping for was for lightning to start so that they would have to, like, pack it in after 9 holes and he wouldn't have to continue. I've been there. I know what it's like. But I'm also not an 8 handicap. I mean, I've had those days where I wanted to walk off the – I have walked off golf courses. I'm like, nope, don't have it today. But I don't fault him for not talking more. And that one shot – This is what bothers me. This is what bothers me. I'm firmly in on the side of no. He's not what he claims to be when it comes to golf. That shot though, that was a golf shot, and of course it's lucky that it goes in. But you watch how that ball spun back into the hole. Like he had action on that ball. Like he put that. I don't care if it was from 100 yards or 140, whatever it says. Any like a full swing with whatever he was hitting there. To hit that ball and to compress it and to spin it back at the hole like that, that's the shot a golfer makes. And I still say his swing looks way better than what he played. So there's absolutely something there. He's not a total hack. He's not a 25. But, that was that one moment. And then I was even more impressed with the eagle putt that he made. Now, he had Mickelson reading it for him. My God. Is he insufferable? Do you guys get it now? Why people don't like Mickelson? Why other tour players are not big Phil Mickelson fans? The way he just goes on and on. And Justin Thomas was goofing on him. You ask him.
I'd rather hear him than Spieth.
Well, you ask him a simple question, and he goes on and on and on and on. But he gave Brady
the... Thank God, Hardy, because they needed it so desperately.
Yes.
Because Tiger wouldn't speak.
Yeah.
And Peyton really didn't give you much. As great as Peyton is personality-wise when he's doing the, the pre-match interview, he gave us very little.
Well,
so I thought that Phil and Brady carried the broadcast and carried the entertainment aspect of it.
Oh, my God. They could you imagine the speech in this thing? It'd be turned off in an hour.
See, Peyton was pretty good in terms of personality. I think, Brady's actions... helped to carry it, but it was the conversation from Phil and Peyton. But Phil doesn't really talk to people. He talks at people. When Phil Mickelson's talking, it sounds like you're being lectured. And he lectured Brady on where to hit that putt and everything to do it. But he sank it. I mean, he sank that eagle putt. It was pretty incredible. So I don't know. It's like the whole. He's extremely coachable. This Tom Brady, as we didn't know that already. But that was to me. That was as impressive as the shot that he holed out from 100 yards out. I mean, those were the two moments that he did have throughout the course of that match.
All right, we'll pick it up on the other side. Is there a comparison to be drawn between Brady's golf game on Sunday and how he'll play in Tampa on the football field this fall?
Oh.
And. Did you find yourself rooting for or against Brady at the start of the day, the middle of the day, etc.? We'll get to all that coming up next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh,
go in!
Yeah!
Oh, my goodness!
Oh, you made it!
Wow!
Chet, take a second out, Chet. Shut your mouth, Chet. Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out here. I haven't hit a good shot in 8 holes, so I'd like to speak for a little bit. Everyone get comfortable at home.
Yes.
The floor is yours. I love you very much.
The floor is yours.
Moment of the day. Right there, of the match number two, which was played on Sunday.
But if you're watching, it's not like that won the hole, because I think that was his fourth shot. It's like one OB, so he's one out, two in, hitting three back into the fairway, and I believe that was his fourth shot on that hole that he holed out.
No, the more important one was the putt that he made.
The putt was
two.
After Mickelson drove the green on the par four. Yes, that was more important, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The best thing he said was that he didn't have a good shot in 8 holes. Like me, if I hit that shot, I'd be jumping up and down doing cartwheels and just living on that shot, never mentioned in the previous 8 holes. So the humbleness of Brady, hey, I haven't had a good shot in 8 holes. Can I just enjoy this one? So.
Yeah, I mean, it was a moment. It was absolutely the one shot. And before we get more to Brady, Beadle, I know you want to talk about the Tampa Bay connections, which I think are fascinating, at least one of them is. But it was the last par three, and according to the TV, did you watch until the end where you saw them play that last par three, and it was the last like $25 million hole-in-one challenge? And I think they said the hole was playing like 185 yards. And like three of the four of them got their tee shots within 12 feet.
Yeah, Brady won.
Yeah, I'm like looking.
Brady was the closest.
I'm looking at this car.
I would have used the driver.
And that's the other thing. Brady didn't take driver out all day. What kind of 8 handicap can't hit a driver? All right, that's get away from that.
All right,
all three of those guys. It was Phil, Peyton, and Tom, like, surrounded that green. They all peppered their shot in there. From like 185 is like a decent length par three. Like, most golfers are going to have trouble like hitting the green from that distance. The three of them were, it was like target practice on that thing. I'm like, was that really 185? Are they really playing from that distance? Because those were three incredible shots in there. And Tiger's wasn't bad.
Maybe it was adjusted for television. For the production. They adjusted it for the production.
Those things were darts. They thought three of the four of them were like flirting with a hole in one. I thought, what the hell is going on this hole?
You would have paid out on your bets, Hardy. You would have had to have paid out. That would have been bad for you.
That would have been very bad.
The parallel could be this, and I don't necessarily agree with this, but we were talking about it off the air this morning. Is there a parallel to Brady on the football field now when he gets to Tampa Bay that there will be moments of greatness? There will be flashes of it. You will see the old Brady at times, but ultimately at the end of the day, he loses. Is that maybe the comparison that can be drawn? I don't like to draw the comparison because I think, you know, Brady on the golf course has nothing to do with Brady as a football player. Nothing at all.
No, but the approach of the athlete, I think, you know, when you're getting your ass kicked, does he give in? Does he quit? Or does he continue to grind and push through it and start to make some shots and start a comeback? I think that's the sort of parallel that you could take out of it.
Yeah, moments of greatness in a round otherwise tragic. That's what Brady was on Sunday. Will his football game be the same way? Is it going to be this like depressing thing to watch?
Like this,
just every once in a while he flashes and shows moments of his old brilliance.
You know, this guy came into the day telling us he was an 8 handicap this fall in Tampa. This guy came here with 6 Super Bowls. I thought he was going to be really good.
Right.
You know, is there that sort of thing if a drop-off for Brady begins that you look at the two things in sort of the same fashion?
Well, I wonder what the fan reaction is going to be in Tampa, you know, just based along these lines. If they haven't been watching Tom Brady week in and week out for the last 20 years, right? Like, you know, let's just say you're just a casual football fan, and like, oh, I'm going to start watching the Bucs now because the greatest quarterback to ever play the game is now the quarterback. Even if he plays at his levels from, you know, the average out is like last 3 years,
right,
there's going to be plenty of, the majority of the time are going to be underwhelming moments. Like, they might be moving the ball and moving the chains, but it's not, it's, you're not going to slap your forehead and say, oh my God, is this guy good?
You know what he won't
it's
have
gonna
there?
Be, it's going to be, if he's playing well, it's probably just going to be like tactical, surgical Brady. And like, even if he plays well, I think there's going to be a lot of fans in Tampa who haven't watched him who are going to say, this is what everyone's so excited about.
What's Hardy,
so
great about more, this? He'll have more defenders in Boston than he will Tampa. That doesn't exist in Tampa. There's no built-up goodwill in Tampa.
Right.
The fan base there doesn't care that it's, you know, Tom Brady that's out there on the field. They care about Tom Brady playing as Tom Brady and playing extremely well. He will not have his defenders that are built in that have 20 years of experience watching the guy and rooting for the guy and having been rewarded as a Patriots fan being able to watch Tom Brady. That doesn't exist there. He's just, oh, yeah, we got this great quarterback. Well, if he doesn't play well, he won't have the people there saying, no, no, you got to give him all the opportunity. You know, there's not going to be that built-in Brady fan base. And were you rooting for Brady? Because I was. I watched this, and I was rooting for Brady as I watched the match on Sunday. And you saw it come out on tweet with a tweet from Russell Wilson that he put out. And people jumped all over Russell Wilson for what was a harmless little tweet at Brady, where it was like a mock scene from... they put
Happy
their
Gilmore.
Faces over Happy Gilmore, right? Shooter McGavin and the guy with the nail on his head. And so, like, people were pissed at Russell Wilson. I'm thinking, yeah, all the people that are pissed are in New England. They're not in Tampa Bay.
Right.
They're not in Tampa Bay getting pissed off about this tweet. In Tampa Bay, they don't know. They're like, oh, yeah, ha-ha, Russell Wilson, Brady, friends. Like, they don't know. They don't know like we know. And so I'm curious to know if people were rooting for Brady if they watched it on Sunday. And... I know they sucked Jim Louth right back in, or Brady sucked Louth right back in. I could tell you that on Sunday.
Yeah, all the stuff he was throwing in our face last week that I was complaining about, I found myself saying, oh, God, he did it again. Like, I'm back in on Brady. Like, it
I'm
sucks. I don't want to be. I don't want
to. Why don't you want to be?
Because of all the stuff, because of all the off-field stuff he's doing. But when he's in there, in the arena, I was going to say.
Man, like, in the arena, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when he's in there and he's doing, like, I was rooting for him.
How about the audio?
And I think I'm going to root for him when it gets to the NFL. So I'm happy this happened this weekend, because if I had thought all offseason until September that I wasn't going to root for him, and then that first game, I was like, oh, no. Like, that would be 4 months from now, 3 months
like,
from now.
How do you not root for that guy? You know what I mean?
He's on a different team.
He's on a I understand, Dad. You could root for him to do well.
I was a Patriots fan first and a Brady fan second, so. I still am.
I hope he throws for 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, 5 picks, and I hope they're 8-8. How's that? And that means he had a hell of a year.
All right, so you're not rooting for him then. You're not
That's
rooting
not,
for
you're
him.
You're really not rooting, rooting for him.
That's not rooting for him.
No.
What?
You think he's happy? He wouldn't be happy
you
with
think
that.
He'd
so
be
you're
happy
not rooting
at
8-8
thrown for 5,000 yards?
40 touchdowns and 5 picks? I think he would say, "Boy, I had a hell of a year."
That's not who Tom Brady is. He's never been that guy. Okay. He's always valued the winning over everything else.
I don't know. Why was he so pissy last year when they were 8-0 then? I think there's a fair amount of selfishness in Tom Brady when it
That's
comes
point,
to his personal yeah. play.
Yeah.
So I understand what Zoe's saying.
I mean,
and he wants to be able to, you know, in this, you know, fictional world,
but Hardy,
that to sit down with Brady and say, at least you were good. And Brady can say, yeah, I was good. I showed everybody that I could still play. And still have the team suck and not interfere with your fandom of your team. I get it.
But Hardy would he would tell you that was because he knew that team could not ultimately succeed at the highest
right.
level.
Right.
That's what he would tell you.
But if he has this talent
Whether
around him.
Whether you believe
him
or not is up to you, but that's what he would say.
But if he has this talent around him and he struggles, then that becomes a problem for him. If he has the same type of year as he'd had last year in Tampa with all this talent, then that's a bad year for Tom Brady.
How did everybody feel when Brady said this right before he hit that big shot? This was him explaining away why he had been so bad on the day.
Chuck, I've been focusing on football, bro. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl.
Ready to dominate.
Been focusing on football. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, boy.
How did that feel hearing that as a Patriots fan, knowing that it's not trying to win a Super Bowl for the Patriots anymore? That I don't know. That one hit me in the feels a little bit there. I was like, oh.
Could have paid him.
That just sounds like marketing. It just sounds like marketing.
All he had to do was pay him.
Even if it is, Hardy. Even if it is. I don't care. Like, even if it's all bull crap. Like, ooh. Wow.
Yeah,
it doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't bother me. You ask any NFL player anywhere, he's going to say the same thing. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl.
But it's Brady who's got six of them in his pocket, so he's got a little bit more.
Yeah,
I don't know, gravitas when he says that.
Yeah. I know what I'm talking about.
Like, no, I'm out here trying to get back to the Super Bowl and win that thing. That's why my golf game has suffered here. I'm not a professional golfer or retired for a number of years. Like, that's what he should have said to Manning. There should have been more Brady Manning.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. More breaking balls between those two. Yeah.
617-779-0985, the telephone number for you. We'll get to some of your calls coming up. And the ratings, how did the match do on television? It did very well. The details next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zo and Bertrand.
Been talking to a bunch of different people around the league in front offices and in scouting, and I said, what's your overall opinion of Tom? And I've been sort of putting this together the last few weeks, and they said, look, he's still a good quarterback, capable of great moments. But the one thing that they all said to me, and I think this kind of sticks out, and maybe some way how they feel here in Foxborough, is sustainability. Because he's had a lot of issues over the last 2 years physically. And no, he doesn't miss games, but it has impacted his performance. 2 years ago, it was a sprained MCL in the knee, and there was about a six-game stretch at the end of the year where he wasn't himself. And then this year, you had the elbow, you had the foot, there was rumors of an Achilles issue. And I think, again, you saw at points that that was a problem. Usually when you turn 43, those things don't get easier. They get harder to deal with.
Mike Giardi, NFL Network, on Brady going to Tampa. He said that back in February before he actually went to Tampa, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's what various GMs and executives were saying about Brady, capable of the great moments, and that's where some of that comparison on him on the golf course comes in from the weekend.
People go nuts when they hear the Achilles part of it because they think, okay, cross tear, right, and the whole thing ruptures. No, it was a vertical tear in the Achilles, same one Ben Watson had.
So he was a part of the match number two over the weekend, and it did extremely well. Turner Sports saying it had an average viewership of 5.8 million viewers on Sunday. Chad Finn with this tweet. For sports content during a pandemic comparison, it averaged almost exactly what The Last Dance did on ESPN, which had 5.6 million on average across its 10 episodes. And the peak for Brady and company on Sunday was between, I believe, 5:45 and 6 o'clock was the best 15-minute window that it did. So the match did very well on television, which for a long weekend you would, you know, not be so sure of, but it did well. It was a success. It did as many viewers as The Last Dance was doing on Sunday nights on ESPN, and so it did well, and it was a draw.
Yeah, I mean, that's something people wanted to watch. That's what you've been waiting for. You know, what's the next big event? Nothing.
That's a good question.
What is the next big event?
So we had this. It did huge numbers. I think a lot of people watched. A lot of people recorded.
I mean, people want to watch.
Watched, yes. You know, parts of it later maybe. But, you know, people still watched it, you know? What's next?
It's a drought. It's a drought, buddy. It is a drought.
I mean, there's NASCAR. There's an actual golf tournament with, you know, more than two pros and two other guys. Well, I mean, what else is there? The Charles Schwab Classic. It's coming up in the middle of June. It's like 3 weeks from now.
All right.
That's it. All right, 2 weeks from Thursday, they did tee off. I don't know. I don't. What is next?
There's rumors of hockey guys are going to start skating somewhere in June and maybe potentially play in July.
Yeah, but what are we watching? What's the event?
Right.
So it did well. It got plenty of viewers. Last Dance did well. ESPN debuted Lance a couple of nights ago, and it's been getting – I didn't watch it. Did anyone else watch it? Did anyone remember it was on? Did anyone focus on going to watch it?
I care less about that.
I didn't know it was going to be on that early.
I don't think anybody did.
I saw that it had started and wasn't watching it, so I went ahead on the DVR and recorded like the midnight rerun of it, and I still haven't watched it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is really drawn to that. And I know that, you know, Lance Armstrong is in it, the same way Michael Jordan was in his, but the reviews I've read have been very critical of it. It says there's nothing new, that Lance has not said anything new, that he still refuses to really take full ownership of all the bad things he did to people, and that it's more the same, and that NBC Sports did, you know, their version of it last year, and that it's the same thing of that, and it's more of the same from Lance Armstrong, who no one really likes. Yeah. Just no one likes him.
Yeah, that's the issue. It's like there isn't any real back and forth there. It's like, oh, I really, you know, I like the guy. He just did that one bad thing. I mean, you know, what he accomplished and, you know, what he worked through. We all know Lance Armstrong's story. It's incredible. It's, you know, it is in some ways superhuman. But I don't know that anybody is like, wow, he caught a raw deal. That was really unfortunate. No, he
He was the biggest of hypocrites.
We know that he tried to ruin other people's careers as journalists, and other people were trying to get an honest conversation going. And I mean, worse, he consistently lied. He wasn't duplicitous. It wasn't like a Tiger Woods situation where maybe he presented himself as one thing, but it was, you know, really kind of something else with what he was doing on the side. Lance Armstrong flat out lied and attacked other players that he said were doping. And just, I mean, went on this all-out assault, like kind of lost his mind.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you could make him in any way a sympathetic character. Don't you have to have like some sympathy in order to watch like a special on him and get something out of it?
Yeah. So USA Today crushed it in their review. They attacked it. I know the Houston Chronicle had one that was very critical of it. San Francisco Chronicle has a story up that says nothing in the first 2 hours of the documentary makes the viewer believe that Armstrong feels any remorse, that he takes any responsibility, that he cared, that he ruined lives, duped cancer patients, stole money, defrauded sports, that he has had any kind of epiphany. He begins by saying, this is the first 5 seconds of the documentary, this part I saw. The quote is, "When my life took the turn that it did, as though he was on a self-driving bike and had no control over the direction it was headed." He notes that he is telling us, my truth, not the truth, but instead his version of reality, which has long been a warped one.
My truth?
Everyone's killing it and saying, it's just Lance Armstrong spouting his same nonsense. Why are we doing this? So I do not believe the Lance thing is going to do well.
I'd rather watch the Alex Smith documentary for his comeback than watch anything related to Lance Armstrong.
That is some couples retreat denial there. I know my truth. I know my truth. Yes. Whoa, that's interesting.
Yes.
Get out of here with that.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what I've warped my brain into believing was the case.
Let me show you.
Because if you believe it, you're not lying.
It's such a douchey thing to say. Let me show you my Paris. Let me tell you my truth. Well, it's the truth. It is or it isn't. You know, you don't get to have a personalized version of the truth. It's just the truth is what it is.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, I'm still going to watch it, though. I mean, should we make a plan to watch it? Like,
no.
As a show?
No, I don't.
You're not
going to
watch it?
No, I don't think we should.
The hell, I'm going to watch a bicycle rider.
I don't think we should force it.
Because one USA Today writer said they didn't like it. Come on, Beatle.
No. The three reviews.
No,
I
the
read
guy's
all
an unlikable person
and said it was bad. And so, why are we doing this?
All right. When's the Bruce Lee one?
I don't know what the date is. I know June 14th is the date of the Home Run Chase documentary.
I'll get
the Bruce Lee one for you. I'll look it up. I'll tell you what it is on the other side. And we've got some new details, not only on current ESPN docs, but future ones, including who will be or who has been asked to be in Brady's documentary. That's right. Who's been asked to be with Brady in his nine-part series Gotham Chopra talked over the weekend. We'll get to it next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. HelplineMA.org.
If you could have brought a caddy today, who would it have been?
Brady, we were talking, he would have brought Gronkowski because Gronk does whatever Tom asks him to do. Gronk, go wrestle, take a year off, come play in Tampa with me later. You bring Eli, could do that. You bring Nick Foles. I was thinking maybe Belichick. Belichick caddy for me. And just to see how that kind of would have worked.
That wouldn't have gotten my head.
I think a lot of people are jumping on that as some sort of trash talk from Peyton on Sunday. Or Peyton letting something out of the bag. Like, oh, Brady really does hate Bill. And Peyton knows about it because him and Brady are friends. If you listen closely, Manning says, I was thinking about how Belichick caddy for me.
Yeah.
For him, not for Brady, but
and
for him.
And he also mentioned Foles, who beat Brady in the Super Bowl, too.
Right. That's how I took it when I heard this the first
time.
It's
ball-busting,
like,
people. No, my God.
It's not only is it just ball-busting, but it's I'm going to force, you know, Brady could pick Eli or Foles, the guys that beat him.
Yeah.
I think I could pick Belichick, the guy that always beat Manning. Right.
Right. Yeah.
That's how I took it. I think people are wrong on this.
Yeah, very wrong.
I think people are wrong about this. So
no, since I heard Foles, you know, all right away here we're going ball busting.
Yeah,
Nick
exactly.
Foles beat you.
I'm not going down that road. However,
I couldn't beat you, but Nick Foles beat you.
Gotham Chopra spoke over the weekend. We once upon a time had him on this show. I believe Hardy was very friendly with Gotham when he was on. That's how I remember that interview going.
We all were. We all got along.
No, but Hardy had a connection.
There was a connection.
Yes. Yeah, it's like. Very well-spoken man. Very
I don't know
nice,
what it
clean,
is. I don't know what it is. But man. You know, I would say Hardy has a skill, and I think this probably goes back to his days, you know, on the music side, BCN, whatever it is. You've got a skill.
He likes artistic
in
people.
Connecting with the eccentric and artistic people of the world.
Okay.
Do you know what it is? You know, like your Scott Weiland interview from years ago. You know, he could be a difficult guy, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
You two sat down and you were like the best of friends.
Well,
you know, you had a connection almost immediately.
Hardy would probably do the same thing with Jim Gray. Like, there would be some sort of connection.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't find when Gotham Chopra sat down with us, it was in Minneapolis. We were sitting there in the food court, you know, stone's throw from Panda Express. And that you didn't find yourself kind of like hypnotized by him a little bit.
Yes.
It's
his voice, it's his delivery, it's the way he's
very
intense.
Yeah, I found him to be at the same time an intense yet very calming presence.
Look, don't look directly into his eyes.
I don't know. It's
It was trancic.
Uh-huh. Or tantric. I don't know.
Or tantric, whatever it was.
I went home and made love for 9 hours straight. It was like talking to Sting and Tom Cruise all at the same time. It was amazing. No, he was a nice guy. I thought he was honest in what he told us.
Yes,
I thought
yes.
He presented himself in a very like genuine and authentic way. He wasn't he wasn't like, you know, full of himself. Or I didn't feel like I was being sold anything. I felt like he just talked to us. It was refreshing.
All right, so Gotham Chopra spoke to Bert Breer over the weekend, and he said this. I'll just read you the quotes. It's not Tom Brady's last dance. It's not that. That may or may not exist 20 years from now. I don't know. There's this sort of immediacy to this. The premise of The Last Dance was telling stories about the seasons, whereas Brady's, it does feel a little bit more like real time. Tom continues to be an active player. So the idea is, okay, let's talk about these 9 seasons, this incredible body of work across 20 years, and how it's still sort of affecting him. Jordan sitting on a couch looking back, literally looking at stuff on an iPad, reminiscing about things. Tom's kind of, just when you're talking to him, it's still very fresh because he's still processing a lot of the things that may have happened across a season.
Oh, that's deep.
Breer writes, as for who else will make appearances in the series, that remains to be seen. Chopra notes that the COVID-19 pandemic has stalled the interview process, but important figures in Brady's career, such as Bill Belichick and Drew Bledsoe, have already been reached out to. Another quote from Gautam Chopra. This is inside the mind of Tom, so we'll ask Tom. I'll use the most obvious one, 2001. I disagree with him here. Pause. This is not the most obvious one, but I'll go on. What was it like working with Drew Bledsoe that season? Got it? Now we go to talk to Drew and get his perspective on that. So, yeah, there are other voices, other players, coaches, etc., and people off the field that had a lot of influence across those specific seasons that we're trying to get. Now we've got the added layer of and complexity of getting to those people, like everyone else in the world. We're dealing with that. That is, again, Gautam Chopra talking to Burt Breer about next year's Brady documentary. Bill Belichick has been asked to participate in the documentary. Is that necessary? We talked about this last week, and it was, do you think Belichick will be in it? And I said, yeah, right. There's no way Bill's going to be in this. Well, now we know that he's actually been asked to be in it, that the request has been made. Drew Bledsoe has been asked to. Drew will say yes to it, won't he? So
yeah, absolutely,
he'll do it.
Yeah, and but like all the bad stuff, or if there was any ill will between them, I think that's water under the bridge.
Right, which is why you're not going to get the real story, Dan.
You're going to get fluff, and I think Bill will do it because out of respect for Tom, like he has nothing but respect for Tom for the way he prepares and plays the game, and you're not going to get anything negative, I think, from Bill on it. But Bill will do it.
I think that the Brady, true or false, here, this is a good one for Zoe, true or false, though, the Brady-Bledsoe relationship of 2001 was more contentious than it has been portrayed as.
Oh, F yeah.
Okay, F yeah. So there's there's that answer, and I don't think we're going to get it, at least not from Brady. We're not going to get it. And so
to the point, I don't think they appreciated their lockers were right next to each other.
They didn't want to be near each other. Great.
It's not that they didn't want to be near each other.
This is great. Skip calling Drew and skip calling Tom. Put Zoe in the documentary, for crying out loud.
I got both
sides. He'll tell you a better story.
I got both
sides. He'll tell you a better story than either of those guys.
Well, Drew told Jeremy Shepp, maybe we'll drink another bottle of wine and I can tell you the truth. In the E60.
Exactly.
How's
mom?
He admitted he wasn't telling the truth.
He admits that he hasn't told the truth at any point so far.
How's the mom? Hey, maybe if I had a real fast sports car and some certain coach walked across the street, maybe he'd get hit. You think it still doesn't bug them?
Like, exactly, the family. And I don't know that we ever really covered that as much as we should have.
That's his mother.
But we still had real games going on. We had real sports to talk about then.
Yeah, nobody cared then.
Bledsoe's family still seems pissed at Brady. Like, they still don't like him. It's great. It's great. There's nothing wrong with that, with holding grudges and being mad. It makes the whole thing entertaining.
Boy, like a true Bertrand.
Yeah, exactly.
nothing wrong with that. So, and for us, the viewer, it would make it entertaining if we got some of that, but we're not going to get it. So anyway.
I just see your dad and uncles listening right now going,
nodding in approval.
Yep.
That's exactly
100%.
Oh, Beetle. I was at Lowe's. I was at Lowe's and met a postman that worked with your dad. Said to tell Tony hi.
There's a lot of them, man. It's a big office they worked out of in Norwood.
Yep.
Norwood and Westwood.
Yeah. They all yell at you too, like, hey.
They're all yellers.
What? Yeah.
Those mail trucks are loud, you know? There's not great mufflers on those things. Significant hearing loss after 30 years on the job.
So all right, Belichick, back to this. Should he have Belichick in it? And why? What's the purpose of Belichick being in it is what I sort of want to get to.
Because he's the greatest coach of all time, and he's the guy that gave him the shot, and he's the guy who decided to go with him instead of Drew Bledsoe, the franchise quarterback.
Is Bill going to tell the truth?
He should.
And my other thing is...
I mean, that's the question.
Here's why Belichick should be in it, why they should at very least ask, and if you want this thing to be good and watchable, he needs to be in it. The comparing it to The Last Dance, who was the main, I would say for most of it, who was the protagonist and the antagonist? At least at the beginning.
Jordan's the protagonist, and the players are the protagonists, and Jerry Krause is the bad guy.
Thank you. So who sets up as the good guy and bad guy for a lot of Brady's career, or at least toward the end of it? It's Belichick, and you need to have that side represented. Now, they couldn't have Krause in The Last Dance because he passed away.
But that's not true.
There would be two things.
He hasn't been a bad guy for Brady for most of his career. It may not have ended well, but he wasn't a bad guy.
There would be two things. There would be two things I would want them to ask.
Krause wasn't a bad guy for Jordan. He put together a championship basketball team that won six titles.
No, I mean it in this sense, Hardy. It was always contentious between Jordan and Krause. It was not always contentious between Brady and Belichick.
I would like to hear from hear from both and see from both. And I don't think we're going to get an accurate, honest assessment of things, especially from Brady because he's still playing. And Belichick, that's just not what he does. So he plays his cards close to the vest. But at least let us decide for ourselves by letting him and asking him, inviting him to be a part of it and ask him some of these questions.
So from a journalistic perspective, it's a no-brainer. You call Bill and you ask him to be in it.
Of course.
Right? That's a no-brainer. The other part is, part of me thinks, though, that Belichick is still in these guys' heads a little bit. Like, He's still got some real estate in Brady's head.
Yeah, it's a Parcells
fan. Why isn't Brady here?
Why isn't he here?
Yeah.
Because of Bill.
There you go.
Right.
I mean, that's it. I mean, okay, so maybe for the majority of his
time here. The owner
would have
given him a 10-year deal.
You know, it wasn't contentious and they weren't, they were more friends than enemies.
Yeah.
I argued that they were ever really friends. It was a coach-player relationship, and Belichick made that clear time and time again. And at the end, yes, they were at odds. Tom Brady is still playing football, but he's playing for another team. And his favorite weapon, save Julian Edelman, is also playing for another team. And the reason why is Bill Belichick. Don't tell me that there is that
I'm
it doesn't
not,
set,
I'm not telling it, you anything to the contrary.
It
I'm just
sets
saying.
Up as a hero enemy. And I'm not saying that Tom Brady is a hero, but for the purposes of a Tom Brady produced production, my gut tells me he's going to be portrayed as the hero. And who's going to be his main obstacle? Who's going to be the main thing that they? Well, I don't know. But if you're being honest, at least toward the last, if you're going to cover the last few years at all, you have to present Bill Belichick as what he was essentially an obstacle, or the one guy who said, no, you're not going to finish your career in New England. You're not going to have the fairy tale ending, the storybook ending that even the owners expressed that they wanted time and time again. Why not? That guy. The story is about this guy, produced by this guy. That guy didn't allow him to finish the story the way he wanted to. How do you not tell that part of the story? You have to.
There'd be two things I would want to know, and I would go down an entire list of receiver over the 20 years of Tom Brady's career here, and I would ask Bill Belichick, other than Randy Moss, why did you...
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.